This is the Canucks Central postgame show.
Canucks can't clear. Roy with a shot for the line, deflected, loose in front, they score! Pierre-Luc Dubois. Miller, top of the left circle. To the point for Hughes, long wrist shot, deflected, stopped by Thompson, rebound, they score! Connor Garland to the right wing. Thompson didn't know where it was, and Garland fired it into the yawning cage.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Here's a chance for the Capitals back up the ice. Protas, left wing, forced wide by Miller behind the net, sends it back into the slot. A chance all alone, Dubois, and a goal scores! Dubois with his second of the game wins it in the final minute of overtime for the Capitals. And the Canucks drop their second consecutive game in overtime to begin the road trip. They fall in Washington by a final score of 2-1.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks lose another game in overtime, 2-1 against the Capitals, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah, Bik Nazar. We are going to bring in Randy Janda into the conversation in just a moment. You can grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. You can also hit us up on the Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And it's one of those games where the Canucks actually played really well tonight, right? Like, not a great first few minutes of the game. They were able to get back. And, you know, after the first period, they really took over the game. They were the better team in the second. They were the better team in the third. Overtime, both teams had a few chances. But it's kind of the same old story. The Canucks make a mistake. There's a great chance for the opposition, and they cash in on it. And, you know,
It's one mistake leading to another mistake on this goal, right? And it's, you know, the first one, I don't know if it's a mistake. It's a play of ambition, but also
it's a backhand. It's a tough play. Like, okay, you're right. It's ambitious, but it's Tyler Myers trying to make a cross-ice backhand play to DeBrusk and does not put the touch on it that you need to put on it.
When we talked about a play earlier in the season about a Miller pass to Garland that led to an overtime goal, that to me was like, okay, that's also an ambitious play that I kind of expect JT to pull off. Tyler Myers swooping down low in flight when he'd already beaten the guy. Like, you can take it to the net in that spot. Do you need to do a backhand sauce across the way with, like, traffic in front, even if DeBrusk gets that shot off? And, like, it's a difficult pass. It's really, really difficult. High degree of difficulty to pull off. And it bounces in the way the Capitals go. And then the mistake on top of it, like JT tracks his guy, albeit loses his stick, but tracks the player around the net. Two guys go after him. And it's you have to be aware situationally and just have a level of composure. And I imagine that's what Rick Tocchet keeps talking about when he brings up moments of, you know, poise and composure. It's that. It's like, yeah, okay, they have an opportunity the other way. We don't need three guys to take one guy going up the defensive zone. He wasn't a goal threat at that stage. Find your spaces, find your guys. Everything will sort itself out, but DeBrusk and Myers get overeager, and there's the opportunity there for PLD to finish the game.
He does. And Pierre-Luc Dubois, I heard Batch and Randeep talk about how he was the player of the game. He certainly was in the middle of things for the Washington Capitals throughout this one, and is able to score and get on the score sheet as well to give them the victory. Let's bring in Randeep into the conversation. And Randeep, I mean, I posed this question to our listeners on social media. Was this a missed opportunity, or did the Canucks deserve better tonight?
I thought they deserve better tonight. This was a game that after the first few minutes of this game, guys, they brought the pressure, and that was that one sequence that, you know, Logan Thompson made four or five saves, which, you know, was a key moment in this game because Vancouver is really bringing it. But, you know, that overtime, it's a bit of a crapshoot at times. I heard you guys talking about the compounding of the mistakes. Of course, you know, you've got chances going both ways. JT Miller rips a 98-mile-per-hour slap shot that misses on the left of Thompson just a few seconds before. Tyler Myers takes his chance, doesn't hit, and then what happens the other way? You compound the mistakes by three guys in the same part of the ice. I thought it was, you know, over the final 40 minutes of this game, this team, at times, from a territorial perspective, was dominant. They just couldn't get that goal. They just couldn't find that moment. But I like the effort. I think overall, for you know, a market that's been talking about, is the process right? Are they playing the right way? This was definitely a step in the right direction. I know that team in that locker room was saying, hey, we should have won that game, but I think there is definitely something you can build off this game, because you took one of the best teams in the NHL, in my opinion, you know, play them for the final 40 minutes of this game, and you probably should have won this game. So I think this is a step forward, guys, rather than a demoralizing loss.
I tend to agree with you, and I'm kind of in a spot where I agree with a lot of what people are saying, because there's also a sentiment in this text here that comes in. Need to stop with the moral victories already. It is a results league. You're absolutely right. Like, there's no denying that they were the better team tonight, and like, they had chances, but I do kind of look at this and say, hey, if they can replicate like that defensive performance, and we have seen games where they do play a low event, but they don't actually close things out, or it gets a bit chaotic. Again, like, I can live with mistakes in overtime, because 3-on-3 is not functional hockey. But like, there are elements that I really, really like and enjoy from this game. It's just, it's not 2 points.
No, it's not. And, you know, that's what, the 20th one-goal game that they've had this year, which in, you know, last year, they were winning a lot of those games, right? They're either, you know, adding the insurance goal, so it wasn't a one-goal game, or it was, they had the composure to finish off those games. And this one's very different, right? You have Pierre-Luc Dubois getting that goal early in this game, Vancouver responding in the second period, and I'm with you. I think, you know, if you get the 2 points, whether it's in regulation or in overtime, this is a huge, not only a victory in getting the 2 points, but guys in that room are going to be, you know, for the same reason we're saying they're disappointed right now, you're probably saying, hey, that could be the start of something. But when we focus on the process, and are you able to play a really deep team and get maximum effort from your guys? And guys, what were we talking about, Sat, before the game? It was like, are you going to be able to win battles against this team? Are you going to, you know, win certain parts of the ice? I think Vancouver did. And of course, maybe you're lacking that finish. You get, you know, shots on goal, finally in that volume that you're looking for. But yeah, it hurts not to get to 2 points. But I think at this point, with the health that this team has, no Pettersson, no Hronek, and they're still trying to find their identity, I still think you can chip away and say, all right, you know what? That's a step in the right direction. You get 2 points from those two games, and they're overtime losses, but you head into a game against Carolina, who's going to be a tired group. I think you can walk into that game confident to say, all right, if we play like that, you're going to beat most teams in this league.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the frustration with this, the whole moral victory thing, is palpable. I see it on the text inbox. I see it on social media. And
totally,
I agree.
Understood.
I think, yeah, like, you know, it's a matter of getting points. And if you didn't cough up as many needless points as the Canucks already have this season, we talk about the six games they've ended up losing in overtime after having third period leads. I mean, you cut that away, you cut four of those out, that's four extra points. You hold this one on, that's 5 points. You start putting this together, and it's not like you're going to win every single game you're tied and you go into overtime with, but you should be winning more than the Canucks have so far. So it's a lot of missed points that are getting accumulated here, right? And I think the other part of it is, as far as where the Canucks find themselves right now, with, you know, Elias Pettersson being out, Quinn Hughes playing through an injury, obviously, can they find another level, or is it simply they need to get guys back and they need to find other players to come in? Because as it goes right now, I don't know if this is sustainable to play this way and continue to not pick up enough points.
Guys, I can understand the frustration and the texts and the tweets that you're probably getting. Hey, yeah, it's the totality of the 40 games played this season. So I totally get that. But if you're talking about building this game, building this team game over this stretch of games, I think that's why I see it as a step in the right direction. It's not about necessarily coming back and waiting for Hronek and Pettersson to come back to get points, because you never know, right? Somebody else could get injured by then, and that's the way the NHL works. So you do have to pick up your points in the meantime. But, you know, if we're talking about another good effort on Friday and this team is able to do something against Carolina, it's really as good as the next game that this team puts together. So, you know, I think I can understand the frustration with not closing it out, not getting that goal in regulation and winning this game. But I think from a process perspective, this is a step in the right direction. And if you look at the season as a totality and everything, totally. And I think anybody that's criticizing the team to saying, hey, you lost another close game, you should have got the 2 points. But I think this is more of a building block game where you're saying, okay, if you can play this way against an elite team in the NHL thus far this season in the Washington Capitals, who have played, you know, half of their season now, They weren't at their best, I would say, but Vancouver was a part of that reasoning. To me, I think this is more of a glass half full kind of game rather than a glass half empty.
You mentioned it too, the amount of one goal games that they've played in here ran deep. And, you know, obviously the results haven't gone perfectly on the whole for the season, but in general, like, what does that speak to in your mind? Is it about like the chance creation in the opening 40 minutes? Is it about how they manage the third period? When you see a team that's in so many one goal games, positive or massive negative to you?
Well, I think the majority of the games that they've played this year, I think it's, you know, not finding your game. So it's kind of playing catch up, right? Where you've got certain elements of your game early on in the year. And I think when we're looking at these 40 games, it feels like the first 20, they weren't able to score the first goals of the game. They weren't able to set the tone. And then what happens more recently is you've got a team that is lacking that composure in the second half of games, and they're not able to put teams away in maybe the last 10 to 15 games. So I think it's been a little bit of both. But what it comes down to is essentially, and I'm not talking about this game specifically, I think tonight was a little different, but when we talk about that many one goal games, it's not having the confidence or maybe a little bit more panic in your game. It's a, you know, flip the puck out and just try to relieve pressure. And when you welcome that much pressure, even against teams that are not playoff teams, as Vancouver's seen with against Nashville, you know, Montreal, who's kind of in and around that, you will get burned by this level of team. So I think with, you know, if we're looking at those 21 goal games, I think some of them, especially early on in the year, it felt like this team was getting comeback victories. They were losing one goal games because they were arriving late to the game. They were getting started late in the game, whereas the most recent stretch has actually been a little bit more, hey, we're trying to play it safe. Maybe you're scared of the moment. You're just trying to relieve pressure. And that, what does that do? That welcomes pressure, that, you know, take a bad penalty. So I think it's been a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B this season, Bic. But I thought today was a game where they didn't really eat that pressure in regulation. It was, you just couldn't get that goal. You just couldn't find that moment to, you know, when you have 20 shots in the second period, could you get that second goal to make it a 2-1 game? Could you find that moment in the third period where it was a little bit more 50-50? You know, if Max Sasson ends up beating Logan Thompson on that goal from the Desharnais point shot on that tip, you know, we might be having a different discussion. But unfortunately, they just weren't able to find that moment.
No, they weren't. And, you know, as far as where they go from here, they have a back-to-back coming up now on Friday and on Saturday. And then, obviously, they have one more game to close things up. But that game on Saturday against Toronto in the center of the universe is going to be the one that people focus in on a lot. But you're kind of in a position now where you're, you know, you have, I guess you are 500 through the first two games of this road trip. But you're kind of in a position where you got to pick up some victories here. And these,
sure,
this back-to-back is coming up. It's pretty big. That game on Friday could be a real pivotal one for this road trip.
Absolutely, and I think this road trip as a whole is a huge stretch for this team, because you want to make sure that you are, A, picking up points and picking up victories. And that Carolina game on Friday is a big one, because this is a Carolina team that at that point will have played 5 games in 7 nights. So they're going to be a tired group. You know, Vancouver was very assertive in the second period, and on course you have a couple of moments where you're not able to finish the deal, you make some mistakes in overtime, but they still played an assertive style, they still played an engaged style where they were winning the majority of the battles in the second half of this game. You're gonna have to bring that exact same thing. You didn't get the result tonight, guys, in picking up 2 points, but you know, that's a game, sure, it's a really strong team in Carolina, but if you can bring this sort of effort, if you can bring you know, this sort of defensive effort, and I thought, you know, the way that they were able to finally establish a forecheck in the second period, they were able to roll some lines and pick up, you know, some ozone time. If you do that against Carolina, I'd feel pretty good about their chances, because this was a different team in the second period and beyond, but you got to bring that every single night. That's the Vancouver Canucks style of play we remember from last year. We haven't seen it very much, but that game on Friday is going to be a big one. And as you know, Saturday is always going to be big because the entire continent's the spotlight will be on you once you hit Toronto.
Yeah, 100%. And Randy, great stuff as always, calling the game alongside Brendan Batchelor. And we look forward to chatting with you again coming up on Friday when the Canucks take on the Hurricanes.
Cheers, boys. And I got to say, that one play where Connor Garland lost his stick and it was diving to his right, he looked like Edwin Vandersar back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That was a
dive.
Unbelievable defensive play. He didn't break it up, but I was the soccer guy in me was saying that he could be a keeper in a league.
Yeah, I made the joke to Bick that it looked like Baby Shark, you know, diving out of the water coming out, you know. But
that works too.
I went with the Scotty Too Hotty worm impression.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Twitter. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. I went straight to soccer on that one, but yeah,
love
you guys
it.
Were much more creative, clearly.
Great stuff. That is Randy Janda, and that's your game review brought to you by BC Honda Dealers. Love a good save, then you'll love the all-new, all-electric Honda Prologue EV. Score up to $8,000 in combined rebates. Visit bchonda.ca. We have to hit the break here quick, but let's get a couple text messages in. We'll get some phone calls on the other side, 604-280-0650. But what are the people saying on the text inbox, Bick?
Yeah, this one. Mark from Comox. The team is good enough to just lose. Moral victory. Can you have moral victories be redeemed on the golf course? Brian, I didn't know Dubois was such a dirty player until tonight. Goes after Hughes all game. He needs to get punched out next game in Vancouver. Brandon and Poco with an early submission for jokes per 60. If moral victories counted as championships for the Canucks, they would be a dynasty. And 650. Ian in Dunbar, glad the Canucks took chances. However, OT theory, the risks you take need to match the potential reward. That was close from Ian in Dunbar.
Yeah, some good thoughts coming in. We'll get to more of them as the other on the other side. You can grab a phone line as well and get the thoughts of the Canucks head coach after a tough overtime loss, 2-1 in Washington against the Capitals. A Satyar Shah and Bick Nazar, and this is the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. More coming up next on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Bick Nazar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Myers into the Washington zone, down the left wing, around Tom Wilson, going to the goal, backhand pass in front, popped over the stick into Brusk, far circle. Here's a chance for the Capitals back up the ice. Protas, left wing, forced wide by Miller behind the net, sends it back into the slot. A chance all alone, Dubois, and a goal scores! Dubois with his second of the game wins it in the final minute of overtime for the Capitals. And the Canucks drop their second consecutive game in overtime to begin the road trip. They fall in Washington by a final score of 2-1.
And Vancouver had some chances in overtime as well. JT Miller coming down the left-hand side, a tired Washington group. And he blasts a shot to the left of Logan Thompson. That was 98 miles per hour. After that, Tyler Myers commits down the left-hand side. Backhand pass that hits nobody. And it causes a odd man rush.
Pierre-Luc Dubois ends the game in overtime. A 2-1 victory for the Washington Capitals. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah and Bick Nazar. Keep getting your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. Or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And don't get mad at Eddie for playing the game-winning goal. It's not his fault the Canucks didn't win last time. He's like, you guys got to start playing the game-winning goal for the opposition. It's
only lost 10 times beyond regulation this season. I can't control it.
But they've only won 18 of their first 40 games this season.
They've lost more than they've won all year.
But they have 46 points in 40 games. So
window dressing.
But they found a way to still stay in the race by picking up these points. But it hasn't been convincing because the victories have not been there for the Vancouver Canucks. Keep getting your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. And we are going to get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach as soon as we can. And we'll get to the phone lines in a second. But what are the people saying to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox?
Oh boy, into the inbox. Again, we briefly chatted on like quote unquote moral victories or if those was a good process game. Not a lot of fans of that in the inbox here. Hannah, OTL is the Canucks version of Rome. All roads lead there. Tom and Komox don't understand why they don't rip more shots in overtime. And this one, awful decision-making by DeBrusque and Myers at the end there. You'd think these mistakes wouldn't exist in the amount of times we've been to OT. That one's from Liam, the F1 guy. Again, we're 10 days removed from that Myers on his backhand. I'll spin around and pass it on my forehand and miss everyone. That was 10 days ago.
Yeah, and like, you know, I saw people saying, well, why is he even out there in overtime? I mean, they don't have a ton of defensemen. Should you maybe have three forwards out there? Maybe. Like, honestly,
a lot of that's a suggestion coming in as well.
I get that. And honestly, like, considering how Myers has been a liability and the other guys don't move the puck all that well in overtime, is it a problem having three forwards? Maybe your chances of scoring are better. Defensively, they're not any better. But this is where the Canucks so far this year, and we compare it to last season, of course, and there are a lot of things compared to this year and last year that are different. The team is significantly different as well, right? But compounding mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing for Myers to throw the puck away, but why are now both guys going to the boards? Because JT's doing his thing. He's covered his man. Like, he's playing his guy. Like, and if anything, he forced a shot out wide and went around the boards with him. You can't pin anything on JT on this one. Maybe he can make a better defensive play, but you're recovering. You're trying to defend as a forward, right?
It'd be one thing if like the guy beat JT up the ice.
No.
He's skating up the wall towards the blue line. Where's the goal threat? Like, and we've chatted about threat assessment in the past, over the past couple of seasons. Like, that guy's not cutting to the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
Like, he's not cutting towards the net. I get, like, hey, you need to go get the puck and everything like that, but protect the guts.
Yeah.
Where's the most immediate threat? And it wasn't that guy.
No, and you can't have both guys vacating the middle of the ice, right? And that's what happens. And if one guy stays there, maybe Dubois makes a great move, but now you have to force him to go through you before he gets a shot or gets a chance. And the Canucks just didn't take care of business there, and they end up losing 2-1 in overtime. All right, let's go to the phone board, 604-280-0650. Let's start things off in Burnaby, where we have Daniel on the line. Daniel, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I can echo the frustration with not closing out a game like this, especially when you have, you know, you start the game with a 4-minute power play, and then you get Quinn Hughes stuck in the box for what, 6 minutes or more, and nobody thinks to get a whistle or try to get a whistle. You have Tyler Myers out there fumbling the puck around. I feel like that was a missed opportunity, and then of course the momentum shifted to Washington, and then they got a goal. So I feel like there's some simple decisions that I don't know if it comes from coaching failure or just hockey sense, but it certainly has reared its ugly head in overtime with the way that we've been playing in overtime. We've been giving away the puck, making low percentage passes like the one tonight, again, from Tyler Myers. Look, I don't really know what he's doing on the ice in overtime. He hasn't proven that he's been capable in overtime to make smart plays, and it's cost us. And I think, like many Canucks fans, we're probably concerned that these points that we're giving away could come back to haunt us when it comes to the playoff race. And I think that's where the frustration comes from. Certainly for me, it does.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that. Thanks for the phone call, Daniel. And I know Rick Tocchet's been taking a lot of flack as well on the text inbox and also from the fan base. But like, I think when you go through whatever else is kind of going on with the team too, where do we evaluate the job Rick Tocchet's done? And you and I were talking during the game that does he take advantage of enough opportunities in game with often the zone start, sometimes a situational deployment? Maybe not. Like, how much value do you leave on the table? I think it's fair to criticize. There's also some problems with, you know, all the injuries the Canucks have had, but I do think there are fair critiques to have of the coaching staff.
Yeah, of course, and it's happened a lot more from our listeners here texting in 650-650 here in the past 5 to 6 weeks here. Yeah, it's more like situational stuff. We've chatted about end of games, like, hey, does someone like Dakota Joshua need to be out of the spot when he's still working his way? But like, there's just situational stuff. I like the ethos. I like the mantra of Rick Tocchet, right? And you want to see the battles and all these things. But there are situational moments, and now they're starting to creep up with OT. You know, for me, the biggest solution to the OT conundrum, when there's a lot of people texting in, like, three forwards and do this. You know what the easiest thing? Just play better so you don't go to OT, right?
100%.
Like, you shouldn't have to play 25% of your games in OT. And that's what's happening right now. They should be able to be better and win games in regulation. solve that problem, and the OT thing solve itself too.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing where you have opportunities to take care of the game. And the Canucks were out shooting Washington 30-15 in this game in regulation, right? Like, so if you look at where the Canucks were in this game, at the end of regulation, they had outchanced and outshot the Washington Capitals. They had 18-17 high danger chances, and they had outshot them 31-18 in all situations during regulation. You probably should score more than one goal, right? You don't. And that's part of the issue, to your point, not taking care of business in regulation. Let's take one more phone call, and we'll continue on the text inbox and more as the show goes on. But let's go to Surrey, where we have Mike on the line. Mike, thanks for calling in, buddy. Happy New Year to you, and what's going on?
Happy New Year to you and yours and your partner there. Great show. I'll be succinct here. I don't call very much anymore because I come from a different angle. I come from an analytical analysis. And so I, you know, even though I'm still a fan, I grew up since I was, you know, a long, long time ago wanting a cup, I have been trained myself for 22 years to look at the numbers and stay objective. I don't even look at the names of the teams when I run my 4 minutes. So there's no chance until after I run them. So the reason I bring this up is because I'm cashing in now. Last year, boys, I told everyone that the team was not as good as they looked, and I got a lot of flack for it. The second point I did in private space that I'm involved with on Twitter is I said the biggest problem with the team was when Hughes is on the ice, the differential between when he's on and off. Well, here we are, a year later, random variation has happened. So what people don't realize about hockey is 66% of every game is luck, the outcome. That only leaves 33% for skill. So there's high, high variation. Our first clue was the beginning of the year when the books put 99, I think, was the over-under, give or take. And Vancouver were kind of a bit of a popular team from last year. So, you know, there's a few points there. So their over-under was 98. That means 50% chance under, 50% chance over. And that's exactly where we are now. We're, as Drans would say, we're well in the bell curve. But my bigger point was I felt that they were a long, long way from being a true contender because they never got over 12th or 13th or 11th in my formulas. But more importantly, you can't win nowadays in hockey with just one great player. We know that no matter how great they are, McDavid couldn't do it. And that's the biggest thing we saw. We knew this last year. Hughes is too dominant. And we, whatever way you slice it, dice it, whatever the Millers of this, the team relies too much on Hughes. And they did last year too, if you break the numbers away. So that's the fundamental reason why they're so far away from the contender. And how do you fix that? That's a huge, huge problem. You need at least 2D, one quality 3-4. Another, you need other. It's a complicated reason. Very few teams rely on one player anymore. So thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. That's Mike calling in. And, you know, obviously the back end improvements haven't happened yet. And there's a lot of criticism. I don't want to.
Well, hang on. When you say back end improvement, it feels like there's going to be improvements. I'm like the Desharnais project to me. So it's not but it's like I just don't I don't see the vision of what the project
just,
was.
Just you're kind of jumping down my throat like I did officiating thing. What I'm saying is they have to improve the blue line by adding to the blue line. Like this is what the blue line is. Like, for instance, I don't want to get into the whole Brännström thing, but it's coming in again, right? Brännström, I see it on social media. They could have used Brännström.
I was going to bring it up again.
But to me, the answer is, like, we can sit here and talk about it. And the example I made to reach was, it's like arguing over the garnish, but like the meat and potatoes are problematic. Yeah. It's like if the meat and the potatoes are rotten, the garnish doesn't matter. Like, who cares? You want to trade a carrot for a red pepper, right? You want to have two Brussels sprouts instead of two fries? Like, these are the things. Like, what are we talking about, right? Like, the things we're talking about is like the very garnish on a dish, not what really needs to change. So we can sit here and debate whether Brännström should be in the lineup or not. But the past 20 games, he's been their worst puck-moving defenseman. He's been their worst defensive defenseman. He's been their worst offensive defenseman. He's been the most sheltered defenseman, getting outshot and outchanced heavily. And he's been spending more time in his own zone than any other Canuck D. And this is during a time where Hronek and Hughes were not playing, too, during some of it. And other guys were performing better. And they were not playing with Brännström, nor were they playing with Hughes and Hronek. But I understand the frustration because fans are looking for answers. But I fear they don't have answers. Like, the only answer they have is Hronek getting healthy and adding to the blue line. And yeah, maybe you can put Brännström into another game, but does it change? You know what I mean? Like, for the level of angst and anger over each one of these individual players, they're not the problem. The problem is they don't have other guys that are better. And the issue comes down to having to add to this blue line. Like, that's the biggest issue. But as far as tonight's loss is concerned, is the defense, quote unquote, the reason they lost tonight? Well, Myers with the giveaway in overtime.
Well, that's one
right
play. The issue is, like, you didn't convert chances.
No, you didn't. But is that because of the defense?
No.
Like, how many forwards did it convert chances?
I
agree. They need to improve the blue line, add to the blue line. As far as the game story tonight goes, was Brännström going to win you the game? Like, you know what I mean? Or was a defenseman the difference? The Canucks outshot the Capitals, outchanced the Capitals. They didn't score because their forwards didn't convert on their chances. And there were a bunch of chances the forwards had.
You also can't assume that, like, oh, Brännström goes in, still a 1-1 game in regulation. Right? Like, you've brought up the numbers of he's on the ice for most goals against here. I heard you in pregame. and you said it on postgame a couple of games ago, too. Right? Like, they need to solve puck moving from the back end. Absolutely true. And Eric Brännström can play a role in that, even though I don't think he's been very good at the last 7 to 10 games he played in.
12 games.
Sure. But you can solve puck moving, but then are you also... is the trade-off there what happens in your defensive zone? And right now, the thing that they're actually doing the best in is, like, playing lower event and making it difficult on other teams.
Well, yeah, I mean, 2-1 loss here against the Predators. They lost 3-0, but it was 1-0, two empty net goals.
It was just the one goal.
It's like a one-goal game, right? And against the Calgary Flames, it was a 1-1 game until you made it 2-1. Like, they're not giving up a ton. They've had some bad mistakes. They've made some egregious moments. Like, again, in overtime, we talk about the mistakes. Those things have come to cost them. But the big issue is you're not scoring. And they're not generating enough chances. But tonight was a night where they had a lot of chances. They had some 2-on-1s. They just didn't bury their opportunities. And if you bury one more opportunity in regulation, then you win this hockey game.
Jake and Nimo, please don't talk about Brännström again. You guys are getting too repetitive. I love the show, but come on.
People are texting in about it.
The amount of Brännström texts we're getting, right? It's a reflection of the texts that we're getting.
We're answering questions that are coming in, a lot of them here on the text inbox, right? And these were the ones that are coming in. All right, we'll get to more of your text messages as the show goes on, and we'll get to more of your phone calls. That's coming up on the other side. Canucks lose 2-1 in overtime against the Washington Capitals. The thoughts of the Canucks head coach, that's next on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. We'll dive deep into all that's happening with the Vancouver Canucks. Listen 12 to 2 p.m. on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hugh Suter on the right wing of the Capitals zone. Back to the line for Myers. Middle of the ice with room. Long drive stopped by Thompson. Rebound in front. Suter digging away at it. Garland gets it. It's a feet near side for Hughes. Thompson made a great save. Stack the pads. Another rebound for Suter. They can't get it to go. Garland shoots near side. Another save from Thompson. Delayed call against the Capitals. Canucks have it in the Washington zone. 6-on-5. Ovechkin doesn't have his stick. Garland left wing. High slot for Hughes. Right circle. Miller one-timer. Stopped by Thompson again. And Van Riemsdyk collects the puck to get the whistle. Logan Thompson, playing the hero in the Washington crease, keeps this a 1-0 game. But the Canucks will go to the power play to try and draw level.
And they do draw level on the power play. Connor Garland scoring to make it 1-1. Canucks go to overtime and end up losing 2-1 against the Capitals. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And we'll take some of your texts in a moment and also your phone calls, 604-280-0650. I'll kick things off on the text inbox, Bic, and you can take it from there. This one says, one of the Canucks' biggest problems became clear tonight, the lack of self-respect to stand up for their captain Hughes getting bullied by Dubois. That's Lane and Bowen Island. And that's been a common kind of refrain after Dubois went after Hughes a little bit. I mean, he had the penalty and then kind of puts a butt into him and it kicks off a bit of a scrum. Miller jumped in there. Sherwood jumped in there. They all kind of got after it a little bit. I thought there was a response in the moment. I know fans wanted more blood, and as the game went on, Desharnais tried to get after Dubois and ends up taking a two-minute unsportsmanlike penalty. To me, there was a response. Would you have wanted more of a response?
It was the secondary push, right? I think there was a response to the initial penalty on Dubois, and also the little extra shove at the end of that play once the penalty was called and the play was blown dead. It's the extra shove after everything. Why was there no response after that? And again, Desharnais goes after it, doesn't obviously fight him. I think that's a bit of the frustration from the fans today. 650-650 in the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. How long do you boys think the Canucks wait once they have a full lineup to make some trades? Again, waiting for health is tough, and you know, news today of Filip Hronek on a conditioning loan down to the Abbotsford Canucks. So
and he's not playing there
he's
yet.
He's not playing, so again, 22nd is when, at the latest, he'll make his return back to Vancouver. Doesn't mean he's going to be ready to play, but certainly an opportunity to go practice there. It still feels like the end of the month is probably the stretch you'll see for Hronek, but you're looking at the end of the month then to get guys healthy. Pettersson, you know, I think there's an expectation and a hope that he's back today, but we'll now wait on Pettersson watch for next game. He's certainly hopeful he's there, but you're constantly just waiting. And, you know, you and I have had this back and forth of like, okay, when are they going to make this deal? Because they're just dropping a lot of points right now. It's been a lot of OT games since the end of November, too. Just off the top of my head, I want to say it's 9 OT games since November 29th. So, like, it's fine margins right now. And I know, like, you don't want to go in desperate and you don't want to panic and, you know, hit the urgent button too often, but they're in the playoffs right now. And I still don't know how believable it is. Calgary, St. Louis, Utah are going to be there to push, but you know, another way to go about this is, hey, can we solidify our spot rather than wait to confirm our spot later?
Yeah. And I think that's part of it, but it's just, the thing is, who's available? And now if you're looking at rentals, it's a bit of a tight market here with the defensemen. So I don't know if they're waiting. I think they're trying. They just haven't lined up yet to make that type of trade. All right, let's go to the phone boards. Let's take a phone call before we get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach. Plus, we'll hear from Quinn Hughes as well. Let's go to New West, where we have Sean on the line. Sean, thanks for calling in. Now, what are your thoughts here tonight?
Thanks for taking my call, boys. You know what? This game, it's a hard-fought game. You know, I'm not that mad they lost, really. I mean, of course, you want to see them win, but, I mean, getting a hard-fought point when it looked like they wouldn't get no points, just the way Washington's been playing, I'll take that. Now, where they have 10 overtime losses, I mean, they're looking at maybe breaking that record that Florida Panthers had, 18 overtime losses in the 2011-2012 season. But the good news is those Florida Panthers, they did make the playoffs, and they did win their division with 18 overtime losses, so with 94 points. So, you know what, as far as the trade's concerned, you know, you really can't make a big trade. I mean, you're talking going to be in a desperate situation, right? At this point, teams know that the Canucks are desperate, so you really can't make a big, big trade to help your blue line right now. You kind of got to weather the storm, I think, and wait. I don't feel comfortable throwing a first-round pick out the window right now. But I do think the team will make the playoffs. But keep in mind, Sat, and keep in mind, Bick, that we've got Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford here. These guys know how to win, and these guys know how to make trades. This isn't like John Schneider of the Seattle Seahawks, who's a desperate GM and makes bad deals and bad draft picks and bad free agent signings. So, They're not him. So just to let you know, the Canucks, they'll be fine. They'll make the playoffs. Things will be good. That's all I got to say.
I appreciate it. That is Sean and New West calling in.
Not taking the bait on that, but well played.
Yes.
Well played. Just
I like it. I like it.
We got a show to do, and we're on a tight schedule today, but I'm not taking the bait on that.
No, I'm with you on it. All right. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. We'll try to take more phone calls as the show goes on as well. But let's get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach after a 2-1 overtime loss. So let's go to the podium, brought to you by Tile Town.
Tough one-goal loss, but I can't imagine there was much you didn't like about tonight's game.
Yeah, I played a good hockey game. You know, it's a top team in the league, and I thought we did a nice job. The guys worked hard.
I know you were a big fan of Quinn Hughes before he hurt whatever he hurt, but how much do you appreciate what he's done these last couple of games?
I mean, he just controls the play. You know, he can make those big moment plays. I mean, we're lucky. We got him 100%.
What did you see in the second period there when you really kind of made that push?
I just thought we were connected. We spent a couple of days really evaluating our team a little bit and how we want to play, and I thought everybody kind of bought into how we have to play with our team right now, the identity. So I thought there's a lot of guys doing a lot of good things.
took a long time to sort out the penalties in the first period on that fracas. Did you get an explanation on why Quinn got a minor there?
No, I think Quinn tried to explain it. But yeah, he didn't know. He didn't know. I honestly don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, the refs just said, hey, you're going to form it a pub. And then he said, you're going to have Quinn for the last two. And I said, I'd rather have him for the four. So why take him? But yeah, it's, you know, they're good refs. Didn't really matter. Yeah.
If you find yourself in that spot again, where Hughes' penalty's expired, but he can't leave the box, will you consider, you know, the shoot in, skate fast at the goalie, get the stoppage?
When he was in the box? Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of things, you know, obviously he's playing a ton. Could he use a timeout? There's a lot of factors you can look in when you have a guy like Hughes.
When you think about that game, whether it was that first period, whether it was, you know, Wilson and Garland late or just all the hits thrown throughout, not a lot of space, a lot of physicality, just to sort of see a team that maybe hasn't got results perform that way tonight, what do you draw from that?
Well, that's a big team. They're a gritty team, and I thought a lot of our guys, you know, hung in there. I like that. You know, we had some opportunities there in the third period to get the go-ahead goal, and you know, it's unfortunate what happened at the end. But yeah, it was 40 seconds away from shootout. So, yeah, I you know, like I said, we got to build off this and you know, keep playing to the identity. And I, you know, I, like I said, I didn't think. I think everybody kind of did something contribute tonight, which is big for our team.
I know I've asked you before about the 3-on-3, but when you look at it in total, do you think, like, how can we not have more wins in all the games you've been past because, regulation?
Because of why? What do you mean?
Well, you've lost a lot of games in overtime.
Right.
You haven't won many games in overtime.
Right.
Is it hard to believe with what you have on this team that you haven't won more games in overtime?
Well, we, you know, I mean, with having can't play Hughes the whole game. I mean, so I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. You know, we had some chances. Unfortunate what happened. So,
not game related, but Phil was assigned to Abbotsford on conditioning law earlier today. Peronic. What's sort of the plan for him? And is that just you guys are on the road and have a condensed schedule, not a lot of practice time, so get him on the ice with you?
Well, I think he's been really training hard, like really hard. Now, I don't know if it's accelerated the date, but I will say he's expedited a lot of things because of the way he's worked, so I give him a lot of credit. And he'll be going down there practicing, so I don't know when he's going to be back, but I will tell you he's expedited a lot of things on his rehab.
You don't expect him to play, though, down there?
Where?
He's not going to get any games down there? No.
He'd kill me if I...
Do you think
you said game like was really close this morning?
Yeah.
Backed up today. Does that mean he's ready to play, basically? For
yeah. Yes, I think he's ready to go now. Yeah. Yes.
Well, the guys are disappointed that they didn't get both points. Do you think a game like this gets you as a team a lot closer to where you want to be?
Yeah, I do, because I think when you play that way, and we talked about how we want to play and certain system stuff. When everybody's doing it by end, you get, you know, you play a good game. Obviously, we lost the game, but I thought for the most part we were a good hockey team tonight.
Rick, it's the second time coming off of an injury, and this one far more minor, where Demko's backed up before starting.
Yeah.
I imagine there's obviously some risk with the idea that he'd go in cold.
You
don't pull your goalies electively very often anyway. But what's the thought process in sort of him ramping up that way?
Game day stuff, morning skate, you know, doing the same routine. You know, that court, you know, he was healthy enough to play. We just felt, you know, give him another practice, you know, things like that, but more game day preparation.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet, who was pleased with what he saw from his team. And from vision to reality, Tile Town has everything you need for your tiling project. See them today in Victoria, Richmond, Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca. So he said the Canucks played well enough to win, liked how they played, thought they were connected. He said they worked on things in practice and were happy about it. And didn't really want to go down the road too much about struggles here tonight for his team.
I will say it did sound like, too, he may share the frustrations of a lot of the texts coming in. He'll be like, you got to do something with the defense. Now, he's going to be far more diplomatic in the manner in which he answers, so you have to read into the tone. But we can't play Hughes the whole game, quote, feels I don't say telling, but
is that on the blue line? And how much of that is also kind of at, you know, his players, right? I mean, his forwards. So for tonight's game, and you know, the blue line's a problem too because they've had their issues. So if you're looking at ice time by deployment, 19:34 five on five for Myers, 19:34 five on five for Hughes, 15:40 for Soucy, 14:55 for Noah Juulsen. So those four guys played a lot. And then Desharnais, 12:57 five on five, and Derek Forbort was down a bit at 13:58. That's just five on five. Is he talking about forwards or defensemen?
I think he's talking about D-men there. Unless we'll bring this back. Unless I misheard it, but it does feel like it. If we can get that quote about can't play Hughes the whole game again, we'll play it and play the question again. Because was that about OT?
Because I mean we'll play. Yeah, we'll because I mean Hughes all played 27-13, Myers 24-25. Now they are D partners, right? And then it was 19-16 for Soucy, and then after that it kind of goes down from that point on. So I guess Forbort 16 minutes, Desharnais 13 minutes. Juulsen 17, only having two guys, you know, two guys over 20 minutes. Yeah, I suppose.
All right, can we hear this again?
I know I've asked you before about the 3-on-3, but when you look at it in total, do you think, like, how can we not have more wins in the games you've been to?
Regulation. Because of why? What do you mean?
Well, you've lost a lot of games in overtime.
Right.
You haven't won many games in overtime.
Right.
Is it hard to believe with what you have on this team that you haven't won more games in overtime?
Well, can't play Hughes the whole game. I mean, so I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. You know, we had some chances. Unfortunate what happened. So,
all right. So he was asked about OT, but
Play in that situation, which is not unfair.
Which
right?
is similar to what we've been saying here. Well, it's like how many other guys can you put out in that spot?
100%. And then I know people are saying Brandstrom comes up. He's a guy that can move the puck in the offensive zone, right? And you know, to that point, my point is,
I don't want this to be the Eric Brandstrom postgame show.
We're not going
to
spend time on it.
I'm doing a PSA to the listeners.
Yes, we're not going to spend time on it.
Like he didn't play tonight, okay?
No, I know, but I'm saying because the thing is, we have nobody else. We see people texting in right now saying there's this one guy who moves the puck that you don't play. Right? Myers got out there, and you're right though. Like for that whole point, should you maybe think about to the coach not running D-men out there, just going forwards, having three forwards? Is that too risky in overtime? I mean, it's been risky for the Canucks anyways, right? So I get it. Like you can make the point that, hey, I don't have other defensemen to go to, and let's not talk about any specific defensemen. Okay, sure. But could you not just go with three forwards every once in a while? Do you think outside the box? Like, and I get it. Like there haven't been a lot of answers, a lot of injuries, and you can actually talk about the coaching staff piecing things together fairly well. I know people are more critical of talking nowadays anyways, but you can actually look at it and say, hey, they're still competing and in the mix despite everything that they've had. But are they trying creative things? Not to say that you want to get mad scientists and do a lot of, you know, crazy things, but we're into overtime. It's 3-on-3. You're not having a lot of luck anyways. You're bemoaning the fact that you can't play Hughes 30 minutes. Why not try something outside the box a little bit then?
I would like that level of experimentation, right? If it's three forwards, just because, look, nothing's working right now as far as OT because you have the 10 OTLs. So that level of experimentation makes sense to me. But, yeah, like you look at who's capable. If they're going to go with 1D man out there right now in OT, like Hughes has to come off the ice at some point. And I even messaged or mentioned to you when there was about $1.30, because I want to say Hughes' last shift. I'll bring it up here because it was fairly lengthy. Yeah, it was $1.25.
Well, he had a chance to get off.
And he didn't. He chose to stay in. And he waited. His final shift was at 2:29 to 1:04. And at about the 1:40 mark, I remarked to you, I was like, is he just going to play the rest of the way? Because he didn't look like he was intent on going off, and it was about time for his shift over.
Yeah.
And his first shift in OT was 2:13. Then he plays $1.25 after that. And then he goes out and Myers plays the last little bit. And so like he ends up playing 3:38 in OT, in an OT that ended.
Yeah.
Right? It's not as if he like played 5 minutes. He played a large chunk of that OT. And the one shift Myers takes, like, that's the game.
Yeah, it's true, right? We are getting some thoughts about what if the Canucks call up somebody else? Like, what, you know, Renfrew, Marco, like, how about Breezeball, Willannon, anybody? You can't keep trotting out the same guys. Come on, like, Cole McWard is a guy that's been getting a lot of, you know, run from the players, too. He's a guy that, you know, almost made the team last year at a training camp, had some injuries this year, too, but he's been healthier. Is it time to maybe try that? Like, to your point, defensively, they haven't been all that bad. Like, is the coach happy with how they're holding on defensively, and is it willing to sacrifice that? Because you can make the case if you want better puck movers, there are options you can try.
Nobody here is denying that Branstrom is a better puck mover than Desharnais.
It's not even about Branstrom, but even like Wolanin or McWard, who I brought up. Like, you can bring one of those guys up. The reason they haven't is it because they're kind of happy with how they're defending. Like, he can bemoan the fact he doesn't have anybody else to throw out there in overtime 3-on-3, right? But part of me kind of feels like he feels pretty happy about how they've been able to defend. Like, he's...
Well, he called it a right? hockey Again. Game tonight. Tough
and he's
game.
Been saying that last few about how they, like, the guys in their back end and Derek Forbort, for instance, and there have been some low-scoring, close hockey games. So we're sitting here talking about try other guys, but the reason they haven't is because I think they are at least happy with how they've defended for the most part. And I know that drives people crazy because, you know, somebody texted in right now, I think with Bill and Poco, Tyler -2 Myers, and there's so many others coming in here about it, right? But the reason they haven't made more changes is because there is probably a level of satisfaction too, right?
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, keep playing to the identity and all these elements too, and it's just a matter of, and again, I don't want overtime issues to reflect what happens in regulation, right? Like, they obviously have an overtime problem. But I'm not, like, making wholesale changes and roster changes because of what happens in overtime. And then that goes to my solution earlier, just win the game in regulation. Like, there's a way to not play an OT. It's just win the game in regulation. Bear down on your chances. And you look back at that second period. Yes, they get the late goal on the power play with Connor Garland, but there were a lot of chances in that second period for them to score goals. The Capitals went 11 minutes without a shot on goal in the second period.
Mm-hmm.
So to your point of, hey, are they playing well enough defensively to his liking that he doesn't want to make changes to the defense? Well, yeah, you look at that second period. They really should have scored more.
They had chances. They weren't able to put them in, right? And I think that's a big part of it. So we mentioned that we were going to get the thoughts of the Canucks head coach. We got his thoughts. And before we hit the break, let's get the thoughts of Quinn Hughes, the Canucks captain, because he was in the middle. We'll grab it in a second when he has it. But he was all over this game early on. It was very clear Pierre-Luc Dubois and the Caps were targeting him, getting after him, got involved in the physical aspect. And, you know, I thought it was BS how he got a penalty because I thought he didn't do anything to deserve a penalty, especially with how that all unfolded. But, it is what it is. And throughout the game, he was in the middle of things, trying to make things happen. And I am curious to know what the Canucks captain, how he feels about an emotional game and yet another overtime loss. Like, I know the head coach was a bit more diplomatic about it, but, you know, I wonder how Quinn Hughes feels about it.
In a game, too, where he was, pivotal to a lot of things because, you know, the big brouhaha. Actually, I don't know if it rose to brouhaha levels. A fracas. Right. How about that? That fracas, he was central to all of it. So, yeah, let's hear from Quinn Hughes.
I think that was the team's best game in a while.
Yeah, we played well, competed, and... Yeah.
What do you think you did well just to kind of contain them from getting shots, especially the second period there?
I think we just worked really hard. Our compete level was high. Made plays, had looks.
How frustrating is it not to get more of the bonus point in overtime?
It's frustrating, but, can't sulk about it. It is what it is. It's what, you know, it's how it went, and 3 games left to still salvage and make it a good road trip.
What was the explanation as to how you got a minor in that scrum?
I don't know. Obviously frustrating because I'm in the box 3 minutes longer than Dubois. I don't know how that happens. And but that's just the way it played out.
Yeah, the guys were in quick in that scrum. Do you think that maybe got everyone's attention and upped the intensity?
Yeah, we invested, so...
In terms of that investment, I know it's been a bit of a skid results-wise, but given the intensity of the game tonight, that you're able to grind out a result against the way too, is there something you take from the way your group competed?
Yeah, well, I think we're a good team, so they're a good team, but we're a good team too, and, we've battled through a lot of adversity this year. I don't think we've had our full lineup, yet this year, but guys are playing really hard right now, and... Yeah, we're a good team too, so we expect to get 2 points against a team, any team.
Well, midway through the second period.
In the sense of?
You guys beginning to take it to them, carry play?
I mean, games are going to have ebbs and flows. like you said, they're a good team, so they're going to have pushes, and we got to come back with a push of our own.
That is Quinn Hughes after the game, and some defiance from Quinn Hughes. And we're a good team. We think we can win. We should do better. We're a good team, too.
Was that his Moneyball moment where he's like, you may not look like a winning team, but you are one. Or so play like one. That kind of felt like his Moneyball moment there.
Yeah, I mean, it really
we're
did.
We're a good team, too.
Yeah, he was pretty defiant. I mean, is it one of those things where you just tell yourself, like, we're a good team, too, we're a good team, too?
But that's what you got
to
do.
But you have to do it. You have to manifest it, right?
And now it's your captain. So, like, hey, we're a good team.
Yeah.
Look at me. We're a good team. Well, I believe in you. Do you believe in us?
So, I mean, no, we've gone through most things in this game, right? You talk about the physical aspect, and, you know, maybe the most frustrating part of this game was when Quinn Hughes had to spend 6 minutes and 22 seconds in the penalty box after the 2 minute minor because the Canucks couldn't get a whistle, like, you know, on the power play. Like, that was, and I mean, it's like, go offside, please do something to bring your best player on. Was that just talking, being like, you know what, we can't play Quinn 30 minutes, or let him just sit in the box and that way I can't play him? Like, I don't know, but that's the one thing, you know, that they, when he was in the box, we were all yelling at somebody, get a whistle.
Go outside, shoot in the crest.
Do something about this, right?
Do something easy.
All right, we're going to get to IMAC on the other side. More of your phone calls and text messages and more analysis of a 2-1 overtime loss for your Canucks. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment after a 2-1 loss in overtime in Washington. More coming up next on Sportsnet 650.
It's Canucks Central with Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah, your destination for everything Canucks. Exclusive interviews, inside info, and even the postgame show. Listen 4 to 6 p.m. weekdays and on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Down the boards for Kiefer Sherwood. Pushed to the corner by Fairvary, who knocked him down. Sherwood still battling for the puck. It's sent around near side for JT Miller. Miller, top of the left circle. To the point for Hughes. Long wrist shot deflected. Stopped by Thompson. Rebound. They score. Connor Garland to the right wing. Thompson didn't know where it was, and Garland fired it into the yawning cage. The Canucks get a goal in the final minute of the second on the power play to tie it at one.
And with 30 seconds left in that power play as well, the Canucks strike. And it looked like a pretty harmless play as the puck went around. JT Miller picks it up, gets it to Quinn Hughes, and he's got room to shoot. Two Canucks in front of the net, Sherwood and Besser. Logan Thompson can't glove the puck. It goes over to the left-hand side, and Connor Garland all by himself to make it 1-1. Thompson tries to recover, but he's a second too late, and Vancouver finally gets rewarded for the pressure that they've been able to generate here over the last 2 minutes.
Canucks end up losing 2-1 in overtime against the Washington Capitals. Pierre-Luc Dubois, big performance from him. Tough year with the LA Kings last year, has revitalized his game and his career with the Washington Capitals so far this season. And the Caps been one of the top teams for a reason. But the Canucks did play well, did outshoot and outchance them, but ultimately lost in overtime. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah and Bick Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. A lot of reaction on the text inbox before we get to the phone boards. Daniel and Burnaby, I'm in the box 2 minutes longer than Dubois. I don't know how that happens, Quinn Hughes. He didn't actually say that, but that's kind of what he was thinking. And that's the frustrating part about this was the fact he sat 6 minutes and 22 seconds in the box, and Dubois got out back faster just because of how the, you know, penalties worked out. But it's just frustrating to see Quinn Hughes in the box in the first place, but then also not getting a chance on the man advantage.
So 6 minutes and 22 seconds he sat. How much did he still play today?
27 minutes.
Woo.
So if he doesn't sit those 6 minutes, does he crest 30 tonight?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it changes. Yeah, it now, changes look, that's right. 3 minutes aided by OT as well. But nevertheless, 27 minutes and 13 seconds for Quinn Hughes. Also, 9 shot attempts as well for Quinn.
Yeah, I mean, good game from him, man. Like, he did everything he humanly could. Brandon and Poco, should the Canucks call BC Hydro to help restore the outage of their power play? Jokes for 60. I see it. It's good stuff. I mean, the Canucks did score a power play goal.
Yeah.
But they didn't really look threatening on anything else but the goal that they got, right? And even that power play, and I'm not even sure we're going to have time to break. Only, it's only a couple goals. But, like, the power play goal the Canucks scored, it wasn't from sustained pressure. Like, for half that power play, they were struggling to even get in and get set up.
Yeah, and then it's just a shot. And look, it's good recognition from
for
Quinn.
Sure, yeah.
Because he notices a two-on-one down low, get that shot through. You got numbers there, and it's actually Garland, who's the third guy, that rebound goes to him. And we mentioned this in the intermission. Would they change the assists on it, too? Because it was Garland's goal from Hughes and Miller. They've taken away the Miller assist now because Sherwood does get a tip. That's why that rebound goes so weird. Because Thompson's got eyes on the shot, and the rebound goes straight over to Garland. And so the shot was going to his glove, ends up going off his pads. And so it's now it's Garland's goal from Sherwood and Hughes.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And that's how the Canucks scored the lone goal in this game. Did tie it up 1-1, and the first goal was scored by Pierre-Luc Dubois after Brock Besser tried to knock a puck down, but Dubois got it first, and this is where got to box a guy out, doesn't do it, and we know what happened in overtime. We talked about it quite a bit, and that's the story of this game. We'll get to more of your text messages coming up in a moment, but let's take a couple phone calls. Let's go to Langley, where we have Mike on the line. Mike, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Yeah, hi. First off, I thought the Canucks, their effort was an A. I thought they really gave an effort. You know, the only thing that really did not impress, besides the defense, which I'm not going to go on about, but the power play they had for 4 minutes was an absolute power outage, like that guy said. They couldn't gain control of the puck. They, for crying out loud, watching Myers do those bank passes, I think he lost two out of three of them when he was passing them back to his trailer. You know, and then going forward with regards to, you know, looking at getting players to improve the team, I think one of you guys or somebody said they haven't had a whole team, you know, healthy since the beginning of the season. And if they're looking to add to make their team a better team, they've got to worry about other issues. And, you know, it's obvious, you know, to most that to make a challenge for the Cup in the playoffs, you need to have things go your way. And I think with Vancouver, the three times they have gone to the final, they did have things go their way, and health is one of them. And right now, this is not the year. And the way that they're not able to defend their star players, going back to Montreal, who was it that got taken out there? Was it Lekaramäki? And then tonight, you had Dubois running around with Wilson, like two stooges. And hey, they're good players. But they took liberties knowing there was nothing coming back the other way. And the one, I was watching it, and, you know, we've all played sports in our time. I don't care if it costs you 2 points. You can't have Pierre-Luc Dubois taking down your number one, one of the best five players in the NHL at center ice and just throwing him down and kind of laughing. And I think he even gave a little laugh to the fans and a little sarcasm to the Canucks. But they're like eggnog. And I told this to your producer. It's like when you go to the store and get eggnog, you know, if you want to watch yourself and be dainty and all that, you get the light eggnog. If you want to have, you know, you want to play with the big boys, you get the heavy eggnog and you don't worry about it. And what they need to do is they need to get themselves a couple of players that can, they don't have to be goons, but they have to have talent, maybe their third or fourth line or a defense or two. You need to have somebody who can stand up and say, hey, not with my guy. Sure, Thurin, and this is my last bit. When Fleury played, and I read his book, and he says, yeah, you know what? I'm only 5'7", and they had guys coming at me in a different era, of course. He says, I speared a few of them, and you know what? Nobody touched me after that. Anyways, thanks for letting me get my point across, and I'll listen to your answer. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate the thoughts there, Mike. And, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree that they need some tougher, harder players in those situations, right? Like when they lost Zadorov, that's something he brought to the team, and we talked about, can you replace this? And Vinny Desharnais, he just doesn't have a, like, I'm not saying he doesn't have a mean bone in his body, but he's not a mean player. He's big, but he's not mean. And they don't really have players with mean streaks. I think Sherwood's a pest, a hard player to play against, and he dropped the gloves. You know, he got in there. He's not afraid, but he's not an intimidating player. Yeah, I mean, Zadorov said mean and swagger. Mean with swagger is what Eddie just said.
It's that element that, like, yeah, like, I'm not denying that they don't need that. It just, like, Zadorov's not the only one that does that.
No,
and it just, I think people are just, like, auto-fixated or mono-fixated on Zadorov. It's like, well, if they had Zadorov, it's like, well, it's a lot of money, man. Like, you're paying a big price for a necessary item, but also, like, that's... That can't be the only thing you bring at that price tag. Yeah. And, yeah, look, he can skate the puck and he can score some goals, but like, he's not playing well in Boston. It's not going well. They need to try to find it. You're right. But like I don't think it just comes down to Zadorov. There's other guys in the league that can functionally play and also do that role.
And it's a matter of finding them. And I do think that that's something that this team could use more of for sure. Jay says the result of tonight's game is in isolation is excellent. They played tough, didn't back down, won puck battles, all while on the road against the best team in the league. But in the context of the season and so many overtime gaffes, the result of the game is frustrating. I think Jay does a really good job of summing it up.
It's really tough. I really like a lot of what happened tonight.
Yeah,
right? We've
been
like, talking
there's
about a lot of things
game,
here.
Yeah.
Like, hey, like, you can keep doing that. Like, the way they've played defensively here in stretches and the final 40 minutes tonight defensively was so, so good. And that's what you want to see carry over. Yeah. That's something that they were good at last year. They give up seven shots on goal in the second and third period.
Yeah.
Seven shots. Like, that's unreal work. Now it's spoiled because they don't win.
They didn't score. Again,
but that's something that, like, merits praising.
But, Bick, like, it comes down to the lack of goal scoring the last little bit. Like, they haven't been able to score. Now, Hughes has been injured, and he's back tonight. And, again, they should have scored more. It just didn't go their way. But look at their goal production these last few games. So, one goal tonight. They had four against Montreal, and they didn't win that game, unbelievably, right? Then a score against Nashville, had four against Seattle, then one against Calgary. So they've had a couple games they've scored, but there's one, two, three games with one goal or fewer. So a couple of, you know, games where you got four goals, and the rest have been one or fewer goals, right? And that's where the game is decided, not being able to convert on some of these chances, especially in a game like this. And against Montreal, you had the lead, right? So done a lot of good things. But at the same time, frustrating, like Jay mentioned, where you don't take home the 2 points.
I just noticed they had 21 shots on goal in the second period. Canucks did.
Yeah, the Canucks were great in the second.
They gave up 18.
Dominated.
They had more shots on goal in the second than the Capitals had in the whole game.
Yeah, 18. Like, it wasn't overall like good performance. It's frustrating, though, when you don't take care of business. Right? Like,
Jason texting in. Can the next intimidating player we bring in please be called Eggnog?
The eggnog bit was good. I like the heavy eggnog.
Nice work, my Mike.
All right, let's take one more phone call. Let's go to Vancouver, where we have George on the line. George, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Oh, hi there, gentlemen. Huge fan. I haven't called since the playoffs.
Welcome back.
So, way of releasing. Thank you. I'm a huge fan. I listen to the podcast all the time. In the odd chance Ian McIntyre is listening, I bumped into him at Costco, and I felt like it was a brush with fame. Star Trek. That guy is amazing. So I'll just say this. I was really happy tonight. I was relieved. They had a great effort. Let's not forget what percentage of the payroll is missing tonight. It's huge. We have Pettersson out. Bluger is not playing that well. He's in, but he's Hronek is out. We got Joshua out. Demko, I don't know, is that 35-40%? Those are our all-stars. Were they not all in the all-star team last year? I don't know, but it's a huge loss. This level of difficulty, if we can make the playoffs and persevere through this, this is going to make the character of the team. The last thing I'll say is I was on Ian Cole's case a bit in the playoffs, and it's just been an eye-opener that clearly the team is missing somebody like that. His stature in the locker room, he was a real abrasive fellow. He would have dealt with Dubois, I'm sure, Zadorov as well. Maybe there is going to be some room for some very late trading deadline acquisitions. I don't know if Utah is going to be in the playoffs, but maybe we can get Cole back in. And Zadorov, as you've mentioned, he might be available. Who knows? Or somebody else to fit that bill. I'm starting to be quite optimistic if we can get all those pieces back in place and healthy and persevere through this very challenging season. We might be a dark horse team. And once in a while, those dark horse teams ring the bell. Thank you, gentlemen. I'll listen to Ian.
Hey, George, thanks for the phone call, and we'll pass along the nice words to Ian as well. And, you know, we were talking about this on Canucks Central today with Reach. Like, is there a path for the Canucks to play better in the second half and become something better. And
definitely,
it's like, there is a path. It's just, do you walk that path, right? That's what it's going to come down to. But there is one. And you want to be trending in the right direction in the second half of the season. And because the Canucks haven't lost ground in the playoff race, they're still there. They're not in a situation where they're chasing still, mm-hmm. right? And that allows you to go on a run and solidify your position.
And, we'll see, and right now, the playoff bar might be like 92, 93 points. Now, yes, traditionally, it does raise up, but like, I'm not threatened by Calgary and Utah and St. Louis.
Yeah, I think, and you know, as far as Ian Cole is concerned, at the deadline, if he's available, I think he's a guy that could make sense cheap because it won't cost a ton, right? And we'll see ultimately where that goes in Utah, which is, I mean, Utah can be in the race still. Like, I'm not sure they're going to be selling, you know,
yeah,
especially,
first year
in Utah.
Right now. Yeah.
I think they're going to have to go really sideways to sell, you know, because they'll probably want to be in somewhat of a race to keep their fans engaged the first year in Utah as well, right? So we'll see what happens with them. Daniel and Burnaby texted in earlier and said, Quinn Hughes, quoted Quinn Hughes, "I'm in the box 2 minutes longer than Dubois. I don't know how that happens." That was indeed what Quinn Hughes said. The only thing was, he said, "I was in the box for 3 minutes longer, not just 2 minutes." But to the point I said initially, you know, so Daniel was right. That's what Quinn Hughes did say post-game. And as far as some of the other reaction, we'll get to Ian McIntyre coming up in just a moment. And as soon as we get to him, we'll bring him on the air. But is there a couple of texts you want to get in here before we do that, Bick?
Oh, man, there's so many texts we just didn't get to. Compressed show today, obviously, with the late, late game.
Yeah, Tommy B says, I've watched Washington a lot this year. This was their worst game. Made us look good. They've been struggling, like, in terms of differentials mm-hmm. past few. But give the Canucks credit for making maybe Washington not look as good either.
Kirk and Coquitlam, snake bit. Canucks could have won. Great goaltending by both teams. Well-deserved point. Roman and Abbotsford, this team hasn't played to their ceiling all year. They're so damn tantalizing in what they can be. We've seen flashes from time to time, but we haven't seen it consistently. They remind me of the Islanders as the kings of the loser point. That one's Roman and Devin and Imo. Great game, physical, fast, very few mistakes, well-deserved point.
Canucks, unfortunately, lose 2-1, but there are some that are happy with how they performed, at least here tonight against the Capitals. Let's go to Washington to talk to a man who was at the scene, saw what happened. You watch him on TV, you read him on digital, about to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
I'm just happy that these 7:30 overtime games are in the East. So I have a three-hour time change in which to work and tell the story of this game, which, funny how it works. It seems to be the Quinn Hughes story almost every game he plays. It's amazing what he's doing. As I'm saying in my story for Sportsnet, we're not seeing him at his best, but we're seeing him at his finest, because the way he is playing with a significantly injured hand and trying to lead his team out of this very dark spell is incredible.
Well, and in to that point, I know we've seen the apparatus or whatever he has on his hand that's interlocked with his fingers to let him play the game. Like, there seems to be quite a high degree of whether pain or discomfort here for the player, doesn't it?
Yeah, and especially, I mean, he's on camera a lot in the broadcast because he always seems to have the puck. But especially when you see him in person, if you keep your eye on him, sometimes after he makes a play, you can see him kind of react or you know, take his hand off the stick or give it a little shake. So he is, I mean, we've all seen, you know, the significance of the brace. So let's just assume there's a corresponding significance in how much he's restricted in what he can do with the puck. And certainly, you know, you can see he doesn't have his shot velocity that he did before. You know, he's still, you know, he's got his feet and he's competing, but it is, you know, this is some kind of significant injury, but I have to admire him for, you know, not just getting out there on behalf of his team, but continuing to find ways to be basically the best player on the ice. I think he was the best player on the ice tonight. Dubois had quite a night with the two goals, but nobody, I think, affects play like Quinn Hughes does. And I think he was probably their best player or second best player in Montreal as well.
And it felt like he had a bit of a rallying moment there in the post-game scrum, saying that his belief that they are a good, or the Canucks are a good team, and obviously they played a good team tonight, but it felt, I don't want to say agitated, but a captain showing emotion and saying, and with a level of belief that they can be a good team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think he doubts it. I don't think many of the players do. I think tonight is a positive game in a lot of ways. I thought the response, you know, after last game, there was talk, well, you know, and we talked about it, like, was the response appropriate when Lekker Mackey got hit? This is different because it's a scrum and it's very, you know, the play is stopped. The play is not going on. Guys don't have to make a choice about, well, where's the puck and do I follow that or do this? But the Canucks were very quick in to that scrum. Even though Tom Wilson was one of the guys on the ice, but no one hesitated, especially Sherwood and Miller got in there really quick. Quinn, the best he could, just kind of stood up for himself and got his hands up. And, you know, I think it was a bit of a galvanizing moment. Now, maybe not galvanizing for the team. I'm not predicting that that is any kind of turning point to the season, but it certainly was a galvanizing moment for this game. And you know, the Canucks played, you know, one of their best road games of the season over the final two periods. You know, Washington has been laying waste to opponents and pouring goals into opposition nets. And the Canucks held them to 13 shots through 60 minutes, which is quite an achievement. Unfortunately, they gave up four shots in overtime, including two breakaways. And it's an ongoing issue for this team, how they play 3-on-3 and how they managed to lose so many of these games. But I thought there was a lot of positive things tonight for Vancouver, including, you know, how they rallied around their captain in that early fracas.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, that response, there have been people, you know, wondering if there was enough of a response and whether they should have done more. But as far as how the Canucks played tonight, and there was...
Really?
Well, I mean,
really?
Yeah.
What do people want? Tell me what the people want.
Eric
what would they like to have seen?
Well, there are people texting in and saying that they wanted somebody to go after Dubois harder, and if they had to take punches or take themselves out of the game. Like, they wanted real retribution, basically anything short of, you know, Bertuzzi on Moore.
Yeah.
And I'm not being sarcastic. Like, people were literally, like, you know, saying, don't do Bertuzzi more, but, like, you got to feed the guy something. You know, like, that's literally what people have been saying.
So you just blow the game. You just take take five minutes and get somebody... game misconduct or whatever. It's not the best moments for our market when there's these discussions. The team is desperate for wins. It is, you know, outplaying one of the best teams in the National Hockey League by a significant portion, but it's a 1-1 game. I mean, it's not, nobody's trailing or winning by four here. That a 5-minute major doesn't, you know, won't affect the outcome of the game. But anyways, don't get me started.
Yeah,
I'm glad people are passionate. I think a lot of people who say these kind of things have no idea what sports is like, have no idea what a team environment is like, and possibly have never been punched in the face themselves.
Well,
no, I'm just saying all these people, yeah, go out and get them. Yeah, have you ever been in a fight?
Well, someone's going to text in and say they've been in fights.
I know lots of people have, but yeah. I'm just saying, like, people don't a lot of people, I'll say, don't understand what the team dynamic is like in that situation.
100%.
Like, everything is situational, right? Like, when you can do things, when you can't. A lot of it is, who do you have? Who do they have? Like, you think the Capitals are going to be back down with Tom Wilson? Like, Anyways,
yeah, well, and that's
I don't want to talk about this. I was all happy, and now I'm pissed off.
Yeah, and I was trying to just say, you know, just, you know, building off it. And what I was going to say, for all the talk about, because there's been a lot of frustration about that for some, there's also been frustration that, you know, they didn't make more changes to the blue line, whether it was Brännström or whatever coming in. But the issue in tonight's game, and again, they played well. They did a lot of good things. Mistake in overtime cost them, but scoring goals ultimately, right? Like at three of their last five games, they scored one or fewer goals. Tonight, one goal, you know, and they have four against Montreal. But, you know, the offense, the fact that they haven't been consistently getting those big goals, that is a bit of a problem. And, you know, you can look at it and say, well, Pettersson comes back, hopefully that helps. But that's obviously something that has to improve. They got to take advantage of these opportunities. And they've had a lot of opportunities recently, and they haven't been able to capitalize on them.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like they have to finish better. They have to create more to start with. Like they have to find a way to get more than 22 shots, which again was one of the positive things about tonight, that they had some quantity to go with some quality as well. You know, Thompson was outstanding in the Washington net. But yeah, no argument. You can't expect to win a road game scoring one goal. But I think that they've also were a lot cleaner defensively tonight than they were in a lot of the games recently. So, you know, the fact that it's a 2-1, I'd rather see them lose 2-1 the way things have been going than see another 5-4 loss.
By the way, the inference there is that you have been punched in the face because you have knowledge about what it's like. So I'm curious if you want to detail your history.
I'm not going to get into my history of fisticuffs, but yes, I have been punched in the face.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. You had an exchange with Tockett there about the OT and everything.
Yeah.
I was curious what you made of that.
He just didn't understand what I was asking.
Okay, yeah.
I have that effect on people. I was just trying to ask him about how bad, you know, how poor the record is, and, you know, is it hard to believe? Like, but I didn't ask it very well. But it is, to me, it's hard to believe. Like every game, and tonight they weren't great in overtime. You know, they gave up the two breakaways. They didn't generate a grade A chance for themselves, but they certainly had a couple of looks. You know, JT with the shot that he missed, that's his wheelhouse, right? Downhill from left wing with some, I think he had a little bit of room far side. So they, you know, I forgot where we were going with this, but the question to talk.
Yes.
I'm easily distracted. I've got,
Squirrel.
I'm,
yeah, no, you're riled. Writing. You're
I'm
writing.
Riled now.
Yeah.
Now I'm having flashbacks to getting punched in the face as well. I got cut as well. And anyways,
Vic, you open up a can. Yeah, of worms
I just think, and he thought I was saying. I guess he thought I was saying, well, why isn't Hughes on there all the time?
Yeah. Right.
Which wasn't the point of my question. Although I think if anyone could play all 5 minutes of an OT when there's some whistles and there's some regrouping, so it's not all end to end, it would be Quinn Hughes. I just think for the players that they have, surely you can be better than 4-10.
Yeah.
Once the game goes past regulation time, and there's a huge amount of element of luck. When you get down to so few bodies on the ice, you know, a bounce here, a pass, you know, that goes, you know, the game in Vancouver, I forget which one, where, you know, Myers passed it behind Besser and Miller
game,
on a rush. And, well, there's only three. Like, there's no one else to regroup or defend you. And it's a bit of an unlucky play. But anyways, they've lost a lot of points, I think, that they may at the end of the year regret having squandered. And you know, it's one thing when we've talked a lot about this season about how resilient the Canucks have been and how resourceful they've been. And they have had loser points in games where they, you know, rallied late, but they were, you know, outplayed, but at least they got something, right? That has been part of our conversations, that they got something rather than nothing. But tonight was a game they were so good over the final 40 minutes. It just felt like this was a game they had to have both points, like to be rewarded for their effort, and then to have that kind of a meltdown. I don't know why everybody needed to be in the corner. I mean, Miller was there. The guy wasn't coming back to the front of the net. I don't know why DeBrusk and Myers. And I didn't talk to Tyler, but I did talk to Jake, and he felt terrible. He felt like he cost his team the game by going deep into the corner. But it's just you can't make mistakes like that in the NHL at 3-on-3. You just get punished, and that's what we've seen. The Canucks have made a lot of those big mistakes in overtime.
Yeah, they have, and they've been caught. They've been very costly. And before we let you go, you're on the road with the team. Management's on the road. There's so much talk about trade chatter. Would you be surprised if, and I'm not talking Pettersson or Miller necessarily here, but would you be surprised if the Canucks do something here, especially addressing some of their needs via trade?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, we know that they've been looking at defensemen a long time. I do think they want to, when they make a trade, they want to get the guy that they've targeted, the guy they really want. And not just settle, well, let's bring in somebody and maybe it helps. So I think that's part of it. But as, you know, I think I said this before, I've done so many of these shows, it's hard for me to remember. But I think part of it right now, they don't know what they're adding for. Like, is this team going to, you know, settle itself and have a big second half and still be in the playoffs and have a chance to win, or are we looking at a very different path now for where they go from here? And until you know exactly what you have and where you think you can go this year, it's hard to make that trade. You can't do what they did last year at this point and just sacrifice your first round pick for a guy who may not be on your team next year, and you may not be in the playoffs this year. Like, you can't do that. So I think that is giving them a little pause. And I also think another factor is that they want to see their team. They want to see it together. And it's so seldom being together. We're seeing how much better they are now that they have Quinn Hughes back. And I just hope that he can keep playing with this injury. Because, you know, if he takes another slash or another awkward fall, maybe he can't. Maybe it's not possible for him to continue. But we've seen the effect that Hughes has had. They should get another bump when Pettersson comes back. And then if Demko can stay healthy and start to find his game, you know, I can see why management still wants to see what this group is capable of, but it's just hasn't been together. Like, we haven't been able to see it, and I don't know how long they can wait to see it. If everyone's not healthy soon, I don't know how much longer they can wait before they have to make a deal.
Ian, and before we let you go, great stuff as always. Can't wait to read your latest on sportsnet.ca. We had a phone call before you joined us from George in Vancouver, said he saw you in Costco and a big fan of your work. So a real big fan called
in.
And
the odd chance Ian McIntyre is listening, I bumped into him at Costco and I felt like it was a brush with fame. Star Trek, that guy is amazing.
So there you go. I hope that ends your night on a better note.
I wonder if I had like a gigantic stack of toilet paper or something in my hands, or like, actually, I don't buy my toilet paper from there because you can get, never mind.
No,
you probably had like the seven layer bean dip or something like that.
No, I don't buy that. When we have another show and we're tired of talking about hockey, I'd love to tell you what my go-tos are at Costco.
Well, but Friday after Carolina.
Well, let's see how the game is first. Yeah. Maybe we want to talk about that. But thank you, George. That's very kind. I do go to, I'll say this, I am in Costco fairly regularly because my parents are older, so I kind of do their shopping for them as well. So sometimes bulk is good.
Yeah, hey, it pays off sometimes, right? You save in the long run. But Ian, I know you got some more writing to do, so go get that stuff done, and we look forward to chatting with you on Friday when the Canucks are in Carolina to take on the Hurricanes.
Well, I will look forward to that as well. And don't upset me on Friday. If I'm in a happy place, for God's sakes, just leave me alone. Let me be happy for a change.
We will. All right? We will. Our apologies.
And I want to say, as much as I'm frustrated sometimes at what I think people don't understand, but I do appreciate that everybody recognizes how important Quinn Hughes is to this team, and nobody wants to see, you know, star players getting roughed around. But this is the NHL, and this is, you know, this is how it is sometimes. And if you have a problem over a longer period, then you have to deal with it. But there wasn't a problem tonight with how the Canucks dealt with that.
Great stuff as always, Ian. Appreciate it. And best of luck. Well, yeah, I look forward to reading your latest on Sportsnet.ca, which will be up a bit later tonight.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you from Raleigh, North Carolina on Friday.
No, will do. Thanks, Ian. That is Ian McIntyre. Great stuff as always. Bick, back at it on the People Show tomorrow. What's going on?
Tomorrow, 3 o'clock. We'll talk about this game.
Yeah, a lot to get to. It's Satyar Shah back at it with Dan Riccio tomorrow. And we may do mailbag on a Thursday because there's a game on Friday. So stay tuned for that. Plus Landon Ferraro and a lot more. Special thanks to Fast Eddie Gregory and all of you for listening, participating, being part of the show. Always a pleasure. Thank each and every one of you for listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.